altiinterview.com.
Welcome to the Alti Interview, the podcast for decision makers in the professional financial industry. I'm your host, Christian Salo. Today, we are turning our attention to the European real estate market and diving into the opportunities emerging through the value-add investment approach. Joining us today is Nabil Mabed, a leading expert in European real estate. He is a senior portfolio manager for the European value-add strategy at PGIM Real Estate. With extensive experience in the field, Nabil offers valuable insight into how recent market corrections, evolving interest rates, and major structural shifts are redefining the investment landscape across Europe. Nabil, great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hi, Christian. I'm very happy to be with you today.
The European real estate market has undergone a significant correction, with values dropping by over 20 to 30% in nominal and real terms. What makes this moment a particularly attractive entry point for investors?
Look, Christian, I think we need to be very humble in our industry. I mean, real estate is a question of cycles. So when you look at performance over long-term cycles, you will obviously notice that anytime you have a significant market correction, you have a couple of years which represent a great entry point and where performance will actually be very interesting, right? And stand out with other what we call vintages, right? Or yearly vintages, right? I think we're exactly in this point in time. Starting around Q2 2022, real estate in Europe started to be progressively devalued. And this is the 30% decrease in real term which you are pointing to, which is basically an index representing the whole commercial European real estate, which we are following with our research team at PGIM Real Estate, right? And this is actually a big number. We can only compare it with what happened in the US, what happened in the Asia Pacific region. And Europe really stands out as the region which had the highest impact on real estate price, which is really a reflection of a mathematical equation, right? We had extremely low interest rates, negative interest rates for years. And these interest rates were reversed very, very fast, which impacted the valuation. So on a long-term basis, I would say this correction represents a real opportunity across the board. But then I would say, even beyond that, I think the market we're in represents an even higher opportunity, because on top of the devaluation, it's an illiquid market. It's a fundamentally an illiquid market lacking liquidity, which is the other side of the opportunity, and why at PGIM we think that today is a particularly interesting point to come back to European real estate and value add real estate in particular.
With central banks easing their policies and interest rate cuts expected to continue in 2025, how do you see this impacting liquidity and financing conditions for value add investments?
I think with the repricing, what we have been seeing is an extremely illiquid market. And that's very important. As long as the market stays illiquid, frankly, from the equity side, but also from the financing side, there will be extremely good buying opportunity. And I would say, I mean, you can buy below a valuation which is already depressed, right? So it's interesting as a buying opportunity. What we're starting to see is that we're starting to see financing liquidity coming back for the right assets in the right location with a lot of selectivity. So already today, we see that you can put a leverage which is accretive on your return, on the right asset, of course. So that's the first impact. We're already seeing an impact of the signal that the interest rates will not increase, will go down, that there will be a better liquidity on the financing side. We expect this trend to continue. We think that the liquidity on the equity side will be a little bit more difficult to achieve. Why? Because real estate, real assets in general, have increased a lot in the portfolios of institutional investors. And Europe is a market where most of the capital come from European investors. These European investors, I think, have a lack of liquidity, especially for core plus products like income products, which will continue. I mean, the transaction have been slow over the last year, so they had received less capital than what they were, have expected. They need to invest more in the properties that they own because there are ESG measures. I mean, they need to improve their assets, etc., which is taking some capacity from them. And then I would say what happens is that locally you have some specificities, right? The retail market is slowing down, and I think the impact of retail money coming back to real estate will take some time. And all this is creating, you know, like a liquidity dip for a couple of years. That said, we know that over time it will come back. I mean, it always comes back. I mean, your liquidity always finds its way at some point. And that's why we're insisting on the fact that if you invest in value-add real estate today, you can grab extremely good assets with income at very compelling pricing. You can work it out and you can manufacture the assets which are needed and which will be needed in a couple of years when liquidity will come back. And so that's creating overperformance. That's how the mechanism works in our view.
What's actually driving the shift towards non-traditional real estate sectors like data centers and hotels, and how do they compare to traditional assets like offices and retail?
What's driving it? It's us. It's all of us. It's the way we live, the way we work, the way we shop, the way we entertain. I think we're, again, in a long-term cycle. You know, technology, demography, our habits are really reshaping the real estate scene, like at least I've never seen it in my career, right? And it's fastly changing. So it's easy to understand. I mean, we used to shop in physical retail. Online retail come through. We're still shopping selectively in physical retail, but we're shopping online. You know, we have different habits. This is less retail, which has been suffering for the last 10 years. This is more urban logistics. I mean, we're using more data, more digital. This is driving the need for more data centers. I mean, AI is reshaping this sector. I mean, as the cloud has already done it, right? So I think we can understand it. And then, of course, I think the young generations are not expecting the same experience from the work life, you know, play balance. So they need. They need to live and work in vibrant cities. So what we're seeing is that these city center metropolitan areas are attracting young people, young workers, students, because they provide, you know, for the play hard, work hard experience. This is more need for what we call micro living, you know, young generation living. But we're also more and more, older, populations. So this is driving need for healthcare, etc. I mean, you have also some asset class which are really, I would say, benefiting from all this change in a secondary way. Let's call it, for example, self-storage, which is an asset class we have been investing recently. I mean, for for years, self-storage was thriving in the US because the Americans just like to buy stuff and to store stuff. So they have stuff. And although they have big houses, they still need to store stuff elsewhere. In Europe, we don't live like this, right? I mean, we don't buy that many things, I mean, compared to the US. And so self-storage never really picked up. So it picked up selectively, you know, in the UK, in some big cities in Europe, but always subperforming compared to the US. What's changing in Europe is that our houses get tinier, smaller, price of real estate is going higher. So now we see a point where demand for self-storage is structurally driven, right? And that's what's pushing this sector. And then I would say, to end, I think there's also a structural shift towards hospitality, which has two sides. One side is the local market, the local European market. I think COVID has been really transformative in the way we see leisure, hospitality, the concept of taking holidays. It's not a luxury product, right? It's becoming a must, right? Whatever, you know, the income of the people, etc. And so this is driving the need for affordable hospitality with quality. And this is, for example, what's driving our investment in the campsite sector, what we call open air hospitality, which is providing a great hospitality experience in the nature, you know, in wonderful beaches, wonderful, you know, natural scenes, while still being affordable. And this is appealing mostly for European clients. But also, Europe is the leader in hospitality, and everybody elsewhere in the world dreams of coming to Europe. I mean, the Eiffel Tower will always be in Paris. Venice will always be Venice. And you know, you have millions of Americans who are coming. We have, you know, hundreds of millions of Chinese, Indians, which are coming more and more. And we see now hospitality, which has been essentially a very cyclical a sector, having a more structurally supported demand. And so all of this is really shifting. All of this is really shifting. The real estate space, and the reason why we think that this is a really great moment to buy is because, okay, you're buying into a market which devalued, you're buying into a market which is illiquid, so you can get good bargains. But then you fundamentally, if you select the right locations and the right sectors, you have a structurally supported demand, and you have a supply which in Europe is really structurally low, and we all know why. I mean, our cities can't grow forever. We have very difficult regulations, and so, you know, if you pick up the right asset or you develop the right asset, you know, you should generate growth and performance.
Let's talk about challenges and risks. You already mentioned the requirements that come out of ESG. What key risks come with value-add real estate investments, and how can investors mitigate them?
You know, like a typical risk set for value-add is, you know, location and sector risk. I think real estate is location, location, location. So you need to be very careful with location risk. I mean, we at PGIM don't like location risk. I mean, we don't like to take it. So we like to, take risk, but in strong locations. And of course, strong location can be, you know, of course, CBD location in a great city for office. That's great location, but, you know, location for logistics will be a different type of locations, et cetera. So it's not necessarily the best. So we think that you need to stay in, you know, the liquid, the big economies, the liquid, the largest cities, the most liquid markets. So I think I would be in the next cycle very, very disciplined on this location risk. I think picking up the right location will matter even more than before. You have asset class risk. You need to pick up your asset class focus right. Because no matter if you are the best investor in the place, if you pick up a secondary office building in 2021, you lose. If you pick up a shopping center in 2015, you lose. So I think macro strategies and risk matter. Then I would say in Europe the regulatory risk and administrative risk is one that you should take with a lot of discipline. So for example, we're very very careful about taking any investment in the regulated healthcare or the regulated housing, because you can destroy value and business plans just with like a political decision or regulatory decision which you cannot control. So that's how I would say that's the key risks which we are focused on, and that's why we like buying existing real estate. Not so much developing, right? Or we take development with caution, and the current opportunity of buying good real estate that you can improve at a very good entry point is particularly compelling because you avoid a lot of the administrative risk and timing risk which can be a problem in Europe, frankly.
Let's take a look into the future and investment strategies. And also an additional question from my side. Are real estate business cycles getting shorter? And what is the outlook that comes up the next 3 to 5 years?
I would have loved to be able to forecast the length of the next cycle. Frankly, haven't been with the last cycle. So I would say that we definitely see a very exciting new cycle starting. I think it comes with a lot of opportunities. I mean, and we discussed it at length during this discussion. And I think time is now, right? When you don't know how long a cycle will last, you'd better off picking up the first opportunities at the beginning of the cycle. And we're really excited about the prospects of the next cycle in Europe in sectors such as urban logistics, data center, living, healthcare, hospitality. We think that very selectively office in central locations and some form of retail will also provide very good opportunities. And we'll hope that the cycle will last a little bit longer than what people say about cycles getting shorter and shorter. I mean, frankly, I don't know. I know that you need to make sure to pick up the opportunities when they're there, and if you pick up the right opportunity at the right price and work your assets, you should be able to do fine.
Okay, so stay invested in real estate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good. These were the insights from Nabil Mabed. He is a senior portfolio manager of the European Value Add Strategy at PGIM Real Estate. Thank you very much, Nabil.
Thank you, Christian.
LTE.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. LTE.com.